Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, or whatever. I always say good evening, but I don't really mean it. Whenever you start to speak, it's lights out.
Welcome to the Ramble Room, where we talk a lot.
We have the normal people with us today. I wouldn't call them normal, but they're normally here. Ken, Sarah, Diane, myself, Joseph. We were all sitting around the campfire this week. We had a beautiful vacation.
But we were not in a place where it was illegal. We need to put that up.
Yes,
I know there are bans.
Right. Private property, nice fire pit, in a place where we could have a fire. Anywho done it. We started up some conversation about survival and what we would need to survive. And we've been talking about this for years. Well, I'm sure Ken has. I have. Sarah has.
I'm a prepper. Maybe not. You're a prepper when you want to be a prepper.
Please don't call me a prepper.
Yes, where right. You're never ready.
That's true.
Anyways. No. So we've all thought about situations and what if you don't have your cell phone and what if you don't, you know, you can't contact somebody and you're stuck out in the middle of nowhere.
Rejoice.
What are you going to do about it?
The world has gone to hell.
And so Diane, I guess, was listening to the conversation more than I was. And she decided that this would make a great show, and we all agree with it.
At least she was still awake.
Yeah, well,
I don't think I was.
No. Thank you, Joe, for that lovely introduction.
Yes. And your shoes match your dress. You look lovely today.
Are you wearing
Thank
shoes?
You.
What do you want? What do you want?
For this introduction, Ian.
Freeze-dried food?
Ah, yes. Yes.
The reason I said don't call me a prepper is because most people that are not familiar with the process hear prepper and they think of people that think that there's going to be like a nuclear holocaust or a zombie apocalypse or something absurd.
Something you wouldn't want to live through.
Diane, you reminded me the other day of kind of where we as a family started thinking about this, that there sometimes in the Rocky Mountains, there are storms that knock out power and you get stuck in one place and you can't just call somebody and you can't get out and they can't get to you and what do you do? So that's why I don't like to be called a prepper, because I don't think that it's going to be some big ridiculous thing. I think that it's just wise to have things put by and planned for in case there's a giant storm or...
And it could be simple things like buying 4 cans of soup.
Chocolate right.
Every time,
bars,
every time you go,
marshmallows and graham crackers.
Every time you go down to Walmart and you're picking out your regular groceries, pick up a pack of those little water candles and a few extra cans of soup and put it away.
But we learned from COVID, in case you didn't know it yet, how fickle this entire system is. And only one piece has to go out before you're going, oh no, I don't have any toilet paper. And most people don't even know what to do. I was really proud of society when the toilet paper went missing and then the paper towels were next. Because to me, that's a pretty decent alternative. If it had been like the playing cards or something, I'd been like, oh, we're doomed.
Honey, I got another paper cut.
Well, here's the simple thing that made me first start thinking about this. When the year that we moved here, we hadn't been here very long, and we had a big like 3-foot snowstorm, which I really miss. I think we should have one of those every year.
Oh, yeah.
Just to
it
for
would
some
thin
rest.
Out the Californians.
Yeah. And it would it you know, you just wake up in the morning and go, whoa, nobody's going anywhere. That's nice. And you don't worry about
Woo-hoo,
it.
Ooh, break out the plan cards.
Yeah.
Oh, not that deck.
But when that happened, we didn't have kids at home anymore, but I had 2 cats. And I thought, those cats are not gonna understand if I run out of cat food. I'm not gonna be able to say, hold on, kitties. It'll just be another day or two. You'll be fine.
Okay, we go that long, you ain't going to have 2 cats left.
A day or two. Anyway, you can't reason with a cat and say, don't worry, your treats. I know there aren't any treats left, but it'll just be a couple of days. And I thought, it's really stupid to only have as many cans of cat food as I have days till payday.
Yeah.
And it sounds dumb, but that was the beginning of my starting to put stuff by. But I was also just thinking of things like, how many people know how to do stuff? And one of the things we did this week was have a fire starting contest with 3 of the older boys. We had a 13-year-old, an 11-year-old, and a 10-year-old, and the 10-year-old got the fire started fastest. They had...
Even though he was the slowest getting going, because in the beginning you thought, oh, these guys are kicking his tail. But he did it slow and he did it right. And
well, the deciding factor was not just who had a flame first, but who had at least three wrist size pieces of wood burning.
Sustainable fire.
It was not going to just go out.
Yes. Yeah, not where you just had a piece of paper on fire, but it had to be burning some fuel.
And also, another thing, the 10-year-old also was teaching the older two how to sharpen knives and how to do all kinds of cool things.
This is going to turn into a show about how proud we are of the 10-year-old.
I can't help it. My heart swelled with pride because I have taught him a few things, and I didn't think that he was paying attention. And then all of a sudden, he was paying attention, and that proved it. And I was like, oh, my goodness. Well, he's sitting there sharpening a knife. I said, I showed him that once.
I can one-up that. I watched my son teaching three of my grandsons, ages 10 to 13, to cut and weld and drive a tractor and what other odd things.
Chop wood.
They were chopping wood.
Not weld.
And nope. Well, at least they chopped wood and they didn't chop flesh.
Right.
And they did get some wood chopped.
Yes.
Right.
And catching crawdads.
Right.
The best crawdad catcher was the 4-year-old.
Mm. He's almost 5.
I do have to say I have a level of pride for the other two boys.
Yeah.
Because they did not give up, and their fires eventually got going. But
one of them did it with a barrel full of smoke in his face. So I had to give him extra.
It's hard to take that deep breath to get that flame going. But I really do have a lot of pride, and I take a very small bit of responsibility for it. It made me very happy that he was paying attention and that he was also teaching other boys how to do things.
We have some targets that have, it must be about the size of a penny, little dots on it. And it's set up like a battleship game. And the idea is that you have to hit a certain number of these little targets inside to sink the other person's battleship. So we started the competition after we had shown the boys how to shoot and how to operate a Ruger 10/22. And they're out there taking shots, one, the other. And it might have only been 25 yards, but they were plinging those targets pretty good. That made my heart swell with pride as well. Partly because, I had a little bit to do, as you say, with teaching them. But the people that I had a little bit to do with teaching them were doing a better job than I ever would have.
Yeah.
I watched the way that the three of you handled those boys and taught them, encouraged them, and taught them to be safe. And I got to just stand back with the camera and go, this is cool.
One thing that I did this weekend that I'd never done before was drive a really, really new car that will, if you let it, do whatever you want it to. I mean, will drive for you practically. And the owner of the car and I were talking about this, and she loves her car, but we were agreeing that that kind of thing is making drivers idiots.
Yeah.
And young people
who are...
They
didn't need any help.
Right. Young people who are going to start out driving with something like this are not going to know how to drive, and they also are not going to learn how to pay attention. You don't have to. If you get too close to something, the car's going to beep. If you get dangerously close, it is going to slow you down. You don't even have to be awake.
On the other hand, if you start out on a 1954 International Tractor at the age of 6, you learn pretty quickly to pay attention.
Right.
Or a golf cart.
Which one's the brake?
Only one child ran over something with the golf cart.
And that was the oldest boy.
That was the 10-year-old.
Right.
The one you were so fiercely proud of.
So he can't drive, but he can light a fire, boy.
Okay, but that's the other thing we talked about, is that everybody has their specialty.
Right.
What would you do in a survival situation? What would be the thing that you would contribute to the group so that we didn't have to kick you off the island?
Right, right.
Who gets to be the food taster?
Well, it might just sound like we're just sitting here reminiscing over a great week, which we kind of are. But the things that we do there are partly for fun and partly because we are trying to teach the next generation how to be self-sufficient. And it makes me proud, not because my son's the best. Just kidding, he's not. But it makes me proud because my whole perspective of being a mom from the time that I started having kids was my job is not to keep them babies as long as I can. But my job is to teach them how to be self-sufficient.
To work yourself out of a job.
Right. And what does that mean? Not just he can balance a budget and he can I don't know, clean a toilet well.
Wash his own socks.
My idea of them being self-sufficient is if we were in a crisis situation, he can survive. And that's the whole point of everything that we teach them how to do, like handling a 1022, starting a fire, driving whatever vehicle we happen to have that year.
One of the things that struck me was the air cannon. And I told you guys to wait till I got back from downrange.
Excuse me. I was the one that almost got shot with a Gatorade bottle.
So one of the things that we did, and we did this the last time we got together, was we built an air cannon. And you think, okay, air cannon, what do? You lob a potato or something, yeah. Which is what a lot of people do. And we did that. We
it's
lobbed
a
Gatorade bottle.
10-pound projectile.
Yeah. We shot a bearing halfway through a 55-gallon drum. And then somebody got the idea of taking this piece of sucker rod about 12, 15 inches long. And using an old beer can as wadding, we're able to get the pressure that was behind it with the quick release valve and launch that thing out, and it stuck about 3 inches into a cottonwood tree. Now, let's imagine that we're in that kind of situation where you need to defend yourself against whatever. But we don't have primers anymore. I went shopping again today. You can't find a primer anywhere. We don't have maybe firepower. We did have the ability to build this thing, and I guarantee you, you could stop a vehicle with that pretty quickly. And you could make anybody that was in there want to turn around and get the hell out of there in pretty short order.
Right. Well, if they were all in a line, you could probably stop about 20 people.
Hold still.
Yeah.
So just...
Wait right there.
I have to tell this story because it's for all the Wyomingites listening. But almost every day, a group of us went shooting. And I don't know why I'm the one telling the story, because I didn't ever go. But one day...
But you can shoot.
It was two of the adult males, including Joseph, and my 10-year-old son that went shooting. And there was an AR and a 1022 and my son's new gun.
SKS.
Or something like that. SKS.
Everything was there.
And somebody from California pulled up and didn't get out of his car. So they turned and started walking towards the vehicle, because that's what we do in Wyoming. Hey, can we help you? But if you can imagine two full-grown men and a happy little 10-year-old, all of them fully armed, walking towards your car... You could imagine what this guy was feeling. And he got out of the car with his hands raised and said, "I just want you to know I'm unarmed." And they gave him directions and he went on his way. But I don't want our family to be scary and crazy and creepy so that we're unapproachable. But it does make me happy that my children are learning things about defense. But what a lot of the conversation was about was not necessarily how we could defend ourselves, but how do we just survive? Where do we get food? Where do we get water? How do we build shelter?
I went out years ago with both of my sons, and we wanted to go rattlesnake hunting. So we took the Jeep up into the hills, and we're scouting around, and we're finding some rattlesnakes. And we got back to the Jeep. It wouldn't start as long anyway. We were broke down. So we had to walk back to the highway. Now, this is a little two-way highway, and we're probably about 15 or 20 miles from where we needed to be. So we're walking down the two-lane highway, literally bristling with firearms, carrying dead rattlesnakes, well, mostly dead, over our arms. And every time a vehicle would come along, which wasn't often, we stick our thumb out there, and you know, not one person would give us a ride.
You know, that's so narrow-minded.
The guns I can deal with, but rattlesnakes, that's just crossing a line.
Anywho's. So survival. Survival in Wyoming is nice. Thank God we live in Wyoming. There's ample food. I mean, not just meat, because there's lots of meat running
you
around.
You can eat
out
rattlesnakes. They taste like chicken.
We ate them all the time down south. But and they do. They really do. Especially,
they do.
Have you ever had snake jerky? In Wyoming, you have a lot of four-legged animals running around there that are delicious. But also you have berries that grow everywhere. You have...
For about a month.
Yeah. You have, what is it called, watercress? You can just go up and... Yeah. I mean, you have...
There's
food.
Some weeds growing in our backyard that Diane won't let me pick because those are edible.
But I'm almost positive Maybe I'm wrong because I haven't really looked at the history of it, but I'm sure somebody's been up on the mountain starved to death.
Probably.
Had no clue what was edible.
Well, winter is tough.
Yeah, winter's but tough.
There is ground cover out there that is just berries.
Yeah.
And
oh, those little mountain strawberries.
That, oh, my gosh.
Nothing tastes like those little
that
mountain
strawberries. That grow in the little pearl onions.
You just put your face on the ground and start to eat.
I mean, the throat. But the other thing that we love about Wyoming is not just that there is ample food here, but I remember you talking about when you moved here from the south, one of your favorite things about Wyoming was that it's trying to kill you.
Right. Always.
The bees were eating the bugs off the front of his car after being on the highway for however many
years. Would they only do that in Wyoming?
Because is everything here trying to kill you?
The birds will do the same thing. They'll go to the bees.
I had never seen that before. I had never seen... It was wasps.
Yeah.
It was just a swarm of wasps comes up after I pull up, and they're just eating all the bugs off my car. And then you go back 15 minutes later, and it's clean.
That's nice.
That's Wyoming hospitality.
And they have their hand out for a tip?
Yeah, they're like, please, sir.
One of the things, though, that I was thinking is that it's not just that, like, survival in the mountains or whatever, some kind of horrible disaster situation that you might be in, but people need to remember that the world has not been like this safe, this under control for very long, and it might not stay that way. But you cannot count on your car doing your driving for you or your cell phone working in every single square foot of the state. You might have to think for yourself.
Or even a lighter. Lighters are, if a lighter gets cold, it will not light.
Oh, I thought maybe you had to have Wi-Fi.
No, well, sometimes you don't. But no, it's
an app for that.
For my lighter.
It's a technology that people take for granted. Oh, I'll just take a lighter up with me.
Yeah.
And then whenever that lighter gets cold, and you're shoving it in your armpit, trying to think, oh man, please let it be.
Should have just kept
where else am I going to have to shove this?
Let my armpit be warm enough to get this lighter up and going. You know, when you should have brought some waterproof matches, or you should have brought or been
some
capable.
Flint.
Capable of rubbing some sticks together
or
to start your fire.
Basic things like what happens when the grocery store doesn't have any more meat.
Right. Yeah, you don't have to eat your cat. I mean, you can, and they are delicious. But you can.
But they might not have any A1 sauce.
Right. So
oh.
If you're going to eat a cat, you got to have a little bit of A1 sauce.
But there's ample food. It's just everybody takes the grocery store for granted. It's like, oh, it's there, and it's going to be there, and we're safe. And I can even get on my phone and have Walmart deliver it to my house. Everybody's taking everything for granted these days.
Which doesn't make any sense after the last 15 months or so.
Right.
You still think that we've got it all under control?
Yeah, whenever everything starts opening up, nobody thinks any differently. Everybody's still thinking on the same lines of, okay, Walmart's back.
We
didn't
learn anything. Yeah.
Thank goodness we're all back to normal. I just couldn't take this anymore.
Right.
We had a lot of experiences growing up that I'm sure, Diane, that you thought they were a pain in the butt, but we thought they were the coolest thing ever. Like when the dishwasher went out and we had to haul all the dishes up the stairs to the bathtub to do dishes every night. We thought that was so fun.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't just the dishwasher, but it was like the pipes in the kitchen.
Oh,
something
right.
Happened to them.
Yeah,
so
they froze.
Yeah. Or when a washer would go out and we'd have to wash clothes in the bathtub, or when the dryer would go out and we'd have to find a place to hang all of that
Thank
stuff.
Thank God the bathtub never failed.
I know. That was a worn out bathtub. And then some people hear me tell those stories and they're like, oh my gosh, your childhood was so rough. No, I loved it.
Yeah.
Because I loved learning how to deal with whatever happened and how to be creative enough to figure out how do I wash these clothes without a washer and how do I create wadding for my cannon without cloth?
When I was about 11, we had, as we often had at my grandfather's place, we had corn on the cob. And my granddad cleared the table, and he took all of the corn cobs and he threw them into a bucket. And then he took them out, instead of throwing them in the trash, which normal people would have done, he took them out and set them in the shop. And I noticed there were several buckets and a little stack of old dried out corn cobs there. And I said, Grandpa, what are you saving those for? He said, you ever hear the expression rougher than a cob? When they run out of toilet paper, it used to be you'd walk into a privy and there'd be a stack of corn cobs in the side.
Oy.
Can we just go back to the Sears and Roebuck catalog?
Those don't work as well.
Well, if it's snowing, you could just leave a trail.
Yeah, the modern glossy paper.
No. I mean, back when those when were newsprint. In the outhouses. Yeah,
newsprint.
Yeah.
Put your knees to your cheeks and just scoot.
Knees to cheeks.
That's what the dogs do.
I'm fine with a stack of corn cobs as long as we also have a few tubes of Preparation H.
Well, now you know what you need to have in your prep list.
So that is one thing we were going to suggest, right? Is maybe some basic tips of how to prepare for the next big snowstorm or something.
Oh, I don't know.
20 minutes in?
I was mostly just thinking.
It's been more than 20.
I was mostly just thinking, let's all have some common sense and not pretend like nothing could happen to us.
Right. Because just because things are starting to open up from COVID doesn't mean something like that can't happen again. And how many months was it before COVID that we would go to the store and you would say, they're preparing us for something because there would be things missing?
Well, I think it was like at least from September to March, it started having that feeling of they're never going to restock these shelves, are they? They're softening us up for shortages.
There's something else that you said earlier, Diane, was knowing how to do things. To me, I realized that I could never teach my kids all the things that they needed to know how to do. But my job was more to create in them an interest. How does that work? What makes that tick? If I couldn't have this, then how could I get something sufficient to do the same
job? Which is why you kept taking our stuff away.
Partly. The other part was because I wanted some of it. But to be able to, and this I learned from my grandfather. Was, you know, the truck would break down and I'd say, well, maybe we should take it to the mechanic shop. And he says, why? Why not? We just figured it out ourselves. Seth, our oldest, was complaining one day because he couldn't find any good help anymore. And he runs an oil field. And he said, the kids these days, you just can't find anybody that knows how to work. And he says, one of their favorite excuses is, I don't know how to do it. And he says, You got a smartphone? Don't tell me you don't know how to do something. You got YouTube out there to tell you anything. And I guess what I'm suggesting is think about some of the things that might have to be done. It might have to be accomplished. And before it's too late, know how things work. Know how to handle. We do a lot of camping. Sometimes we go up there with 20 or 25 people. And one of the things that struck me was most people use a lot more water in a day than I do.
Mm.
And when we went up there with 15 or 20 people and we're running through 10 gallons of water a day, I'm thinking, okay, there are a couple of things that need to happen. Number one, I need to have more water on hand or a better source. Number two, we need to start teaching people how to go through the day without using 15 gallons of water.
And you need to teach them how to go carry it themselves.
And how to dig a cat hole.
Well, you don't really have to carry it if you go out and buy one of those pins. It's good for 4,000 gallons.
No, this isn't for drinking. This was for everything else they were doing.
Cooking.
Between bathing and washing dishes. They come in there to brush their teeth, just like they would at home.
Just leave
turn
it
on
going.
The faucet. Well, they're standing around talking and whatnot, and the water's just running around.
I thought
around.
Part that was like of fire camping camp. Was to not have to do any of those things
like
for a while.
Like brush your teeth?
Yeah.
It is for me.
Let's you go just see how thick the film can get before I come off of this mountain.
I always thought it was funny that, you know, you'd go to fire camp. And you're up in the middle of nowhere. And people just think water comes. I don't know where they think it comes from.
Just buy a faucet and hook it to the wall.
But there's a guy running back and forth, bringing water, and that was me. But
water
you would
boy.
You would sit there, and you would watch all these guys come to the sinks to brush their teeth and to do their hair and whatever you needed to do. Watch.
I didn't understand. Why do you need to brush your
Why
hair?
Why do you have to do your hair?
Yeah, dude. None of us are pretty out here. We're all covered soot. Anyways, but they would just turn that faucet on. Just let it run. As if, you know, it was just an unlimited supply of
We did the same thing in the desert.
Life-bringing water.
They brought us, on the back of a 40-foot trailer, they brought us this, I forget what they called it, but it's basically just a great big bladder.
Yeah.
40 foot long and about, when it's fully inflated, it's probably 5 feet tall, and brought it in on the trailer. All the pressure from that would run, water pressure for whatever you needed. And after about 3 days, there's no more water coming out. People looking up there, that thing is depleted to nothing.
Yeah.
Same thing you're talking about.
Yeah.
You people are idiots.
Stop using so much water.
Well, and one thing I started to say when she was talking about washing clothes in the bathtub, if you have to do that, you figure out that you don't have to change every article of clothing on your body every single day.
Some you do.
Yeah. I said every article.
Yep, you did.
Well, the underwear is the easiest to wash, though.
Which is
the
why...
blue jeans are not.
But that's why they invented it.
Well, that's why there's creeks. You just jump in the creek and agitate.
What'd you say? Knees to ears.
Knees to ears and scoot along.
Which leads us to how to remove a leech.
Maybe we could just end with a suggestion. Be curious. Just go through the day and think. Pick one thing. How did people used to do this 100 years ago? Could I figure that out?